This is security, you know, people, I never know.
We've been doing some reorganization of the members of the board to try to get people who are committed, 11 people on the board that committed to actually come to the meetings and be involved. So that, in process, we're almost done with that. But because we have some new people, we have one person who's supposedly coming, a student rep, and that'll give us a call. If we could either side of the table and just tell us who you are, what you do here, or that sort of thing, everybody can kind of figure out who you are.
I'm Camille Goulet, I'm the general counsel for the district and counsel to the committee. And Lillian's advised me that the security guard has reported Mr. Griggs is in the building, but we're not quite sure where he is. And so I'm.
I wonder if he knew what floor.
Well, right, so I'm anticipating he'll be here shortly.
And I'm Mona Field, I'm a member of the Board of Trustees, and always very, very grateful to the committee members who generously give their time and their gasoline and everything to be here and help.
That's okay.
My name is Donna Slaman, I go by Obie, I'm from Pierce College. And I was on this committee for 4 years, and then Donna Smith came, if you all remember her. And then I'm back, so it's good to see you.
Welcome back. Welcome to the board.
My name's Lanny Elms, I'm from Harvard College, and I come because of sandwiches.
I'm Tom Hall, I'm the Director of Facilities Planning Development. And today, I usually don't sit in here, usually I'm in the background, but Jim's not here today. He had a doctor's appointment, so he asked me to sit in.
I'm Dan Schwartz, I'm chair for right now. I'm taxpayer representative, I've been on the board for 4 years, something like that.
Elliot Axelman, I'm in my third 2-year term. I was chair of the board and vice chair earlier, I'm a member of the board now, and it's not a board's committee, I guess. And I'm the at-large representative, I also chair the Western Lake College equivalent committee, Citizens Oversight Committee for Construction.
I'm Richard Clausen. Formerly, I was the labor representative out of the Building and Construction Trades Council for the area. I've been on the committee for, this is the fifth year, going into the third term.
Right.
And although they were not consecutive. But I enjoy the work and enjoy the people, and see everyone again.
I'm Terry Mastis, I'm the director for the Build Program, which supports all the design and construction going on in all the colleges.
And my name is Lillian Masariegos, and I'm the staff liaison for the DCOC, and I work from Dr. Barrera's office.
I'm Lori Green, I'm no taker for DCOC, and Lillian's left-hand man.
I'm Steve Springer, I do public affairs for both the Build Program and the district.
Dan Minkoff, I'm with the Program Management Office with the Block Program.
Great. Okay. We can't do anything with the minutes until Mr. Griggs is here. The next area that we should probably focus on are the upcoming dates for meetings. We try to avoid major holiday periods and that sort of thing. But unless someone has a kind of obvious major conflict, we'd like to get these established early on so that people get them on their calendar and then don't make other commitments. So that's all about. We're on to the most important part, which is the construction updates.
Yes, and Terry's going to do that for Jim today.
Okay. So right now, we have $4.98 billion contracted. Remaining dollars to be spent is $1.28 billion. And so to date, total, we've expended $4.33 billion on the bond program. We've completed 208 of the 386 projects planned. And in construction, we have 42 projects. Of course, there's several sub-projects under that, so there's 51 sub-projects underneath those 42 primary projects. In design, we have 41 projects and 55 sub-projects, so a lot of work going on. Contract and procurement updates. We have a project, a design-build project at City. It's the Red Line Pedestrian Corridor. The RFP has been issued, and we're looking to recommend award at the board meeting in November. Also, at Mission College, we have a central plant that we are doing the programming on right now. That's going to go for recommended award, design-build, probably January or February of 2015. At Trade Tech, we have a Grand Avenue Blue Line project, and just by the way, the City Red Line project and the project at Trade Tech, this Grand Avenue, they do have federal funds. We're working with MTA on these projects. That one is also going to go forward as a design build early next year. Lease back, which I believe Jim spoke about a little bit last time as a delivery method that we're going to be utilizing going forward. We have an exciting project. It's at Pierce College. It's the North Mall, something that has been needed for a long time. If you recall, that project was started. There were some issues on the project. The work stopped. We're now ready to move forward with the work. That's going to go forward for recommended award in November or December. We do have the RFQ, which is a request for qualifications from firms out. We did receive, I believe, about 14 proposals, which we're reviewing now, a good turnout, and a good quality firms are proposing, so it's exciting.
Was there a design change on that, or are we doing what we started off doing?
There were some minor design changes. The big thing was trying to validate what work had actually been done versus what work was remaining since we stopped midway. That was the biggest design effort to draw that distinction so we knew what to award going forward. Also, we have some demolition going on at Trade. It's the demolition of buildings E and R. These are two buildings that the campus has been very anxious to have demolished and taken away, so that's going forward for award in October. At West, we have what we're calling campus improvement packages. There's a lot of miscellaneous and small projects at the colleges which we're looking at bundling to attract some of the larger contractors. This is one of those bundles, as well as the Pierce project, the North of Mall, is going to be a bundle, but we're calling it a campus improvement package. That's going to go forward in early 2015. So you're going to start seeing a lot of these campus improvement packages in the next few months coming forward. City as well, they're going to have a campus improvement package that will be going forward in early 2015. One thing that we're working with Jim on, and many members of the team, is to look at when these are going to be hitting the market so we don't flood the market at one time. So we're going to be looking at how to stagger those procurements also so that we continue to get the quality contractors chasing our work and closing on our work and hopefully being awarded the work.
Is it most of the same contractors who keep coming back to us now?
No, we had some new interest, which has been really exciting. Clark, who hadn't worked on the program before, wow. They were awarded one of the last big projects, which is the athletic training facility at Valley. So we were excited to see that. Yeah.
You're using this best value process to select the good contractors.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
So you have every way now.
Yes, exactly. Also, as a side note, we are going to have an industry boot camp type of forum to let industry know what's coming and what the timing is going to be, so also these A-class contractors can kind of target which projects they want to chase. So that'll be on November 7th, and I believe we're having it at either Pierce or Trade. I have to go back and look at my notes. So we're going to try to have these forums also at the colleges as well. Let's see here. So construction updates. Some of the good news is I think last time we spoke a little bit about MAPA at Valley. MAPA is the Media and Performing Arts Project. It's been one where the design was completed. It went through DSA, ready to go into construction, but there was some concerns that maybe the project was too large just to accommodate only two departments. We did go back, and working very closely with the college, we really expanded the use of the building so that now 14 of the 26 departments at the campus will be able to utilize the building. big improvement from two departments. Now we have 14 being able to utilize it. So we're going to be going back to the Facility Master Plan Oversight Committee meeting to present that and hopefully get approval to go forward. I already mentioned the next one, which is Clark being selected as the contractor for the athletic training facility at Valley. We had our kickoff meeting. We're very excited to get that started. I think we'll be having a groundbreaking ceremony as well, so we'll make sure to publish all those dates. The Monarch parking structure, this is also in Valley, was opened on time for the fall semester. We will be having a ribbon cutting for that, I think, at the end of October or early November. We'll put all these dates out so if people want to attend, they can. Monarch Center is a new project at Valley. That one is getting ready to start, and again, there'll be a ribbon cutting for that as well. So more dates to follow. Pierce College, parking lot number 7, opened up on time for the fall semester, and the Performing Arts Building was commissioned with only minor corrections remaining, and so that was completed effectively on time. City College, some work for the music department. There were two swing space modular classrooms that were completed in time for fall semester use. Mission College, the campus modernization phase 1, classrooms were received and installed and ready to go for fall semester usage. And no incidents were reported in regards to safety for August 21st through the 16th.
What are modular? Is that
the modular buildings?
Do we still have those and we're still upgrading?
For swing space, many times we still use those if there's just not enough footprint at the college to accommodate departments moving in. Yeah. But we're trying to minimize that, obviously, to the extent that we can, and to get rid of some of the old modules that we have on campus.
Would you do me a favor?
Lease back is very similar to design bid build in that design is done outside of the contract. It's done ahead of time. The advantage of lease back is you can start that process, that procurement, prior to getting DSA approval. With design bid build, you would have to wait till you had DSA approval to start. Lease back allows us to put more requirements into the RFP to select the right contractors to go for best value versus going for just lowest price. We can do a two-step process, so we can do a quals, the qualifications process first to make sure that we're shortlisting just to those qualified contractors so we're not entertaining everybody. And then we can look at price as a factor, but it doesn't have to be the most heavily weighted factor when we make our selection. We can also bring in a contractor early to do pre-construction services so they can work side by side with the design team and look and see to make sure that we're adhering to budget, we're making the right design choices. If there's something we can do more effectively or design it more effectively, we can do those things during that time.
That's how you're compensating for the fact that it isn't the same company is not designing and building.
That's right.
So that's how you put it together.
Right. So a lot of benefits to lease back.
What about financially? Is there a financial flow? Do the colleges take on more financial obligation at some point in this process, in the leaseback process?
I don't believe so, no. No, it's for the most part the same. It just gives us more flexibility and allows us to put more requirements into the contract.
This is sort of a hybrid in the real world, the non-governmental world. The property tends to, in a leaseback situation, the developer, the owner, the builder owns it for a long period of time.
During the course of the construction.
Right. I mean, we just do it during the course of construction and we buy it at the end. So it's not as much of a financing technique as it would be if we were a commercial development company.
But during that period, when under the lease back, when you own things, okay, then you have a greater exposure financially.
Well, we're leasing it. So,
okay, so no obligation to purchase. You were at the Harbor meeting, were you not?
The Harbor meeting?
College meeting.
Yes.
We had a discussion there, and I thought you undertook, or maybe Jim undertook, an obligation there to make a change
to
these sheets. And that was for each college.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the first one, it's fine.
Sure.
For each college, sum up the budget variance line, and so we would know what the budget variance for the college was.
Dan, did we look at doing that?
That's on there. It's the budget variance is the...
You have it for each project.
Oh, but you want it to be summarized.
But we agreed to do is to summarize it, so we can look into the college and what is internet.
Gotcha. I apologize.
That's okay. We can do, but it will help with visibility.
Yeah.
And the second thing we talked about was that we would find some places, we sell across all colleges in our project, so we could see how the total program is going without having to add up all those numbers ourselves.
Okay.
Great.
So we'll create a summary page, Dan, that does a column for each college, okay?
Thank you.
Sure.
What are our biggest problems?
All right. All right, so I think Jim has called it projects with challenges. So the first one, true, opportunity for improvement, that's even a better way. Clausen Hall over at City, I believe is one that Jim has reported on previously. That one was taken over by a surety. The original contractor was Summit, brought up by DCK. The surety is Liberty Mutual. They took over in the spring of 2014. And then Liberty hired Sage to complete the project. The last issue that I believe was reported was there was some column repairs and some structural issues on the outside of the building. We did some redesign work that went to DSA. The DSA did approve the repairs shown in that design, and the repairs are ongoing and we're near completion.
Is this where we have connection problems?
I believe it was on the outside of the exterior. It was, I believe it was the, remind me, Kelly, what the issue was. It was the wall was showing some cracks when they did some investigative work. There were two kind of schools of thought. I believe the contractor believed that the cracks in the actual wall of the building were not structural when we went back and looked at the architect's structural, came to the conclusion that it was. And so there also needed to be some repairs to that, as well as repairs to the columns that were right outside those cracks. There was a little bit of degradation there.
With another building we have, that there's a whole problem with frame connections.
The arch, probably. The arch, yeah, that admission, yeah.
And that, is that ongoing?
That's ongoing as well.
Okay.
Yes. So the negative is that we are 2 years behind schedule on Clausen Hall. The positive is that we are nearing the end, and forecast completion is January of 2015. And I think, for the first time over the course of the last 2 years, I think there's some certainty that we're actually gonna, we are gonna meet that mark, and we're nearing the end of all repairs. So,
what happens when? And what happened with Summit? Did they drop out of the project, or did you remove them from the project?
Well, Summit was purchased by another company. So they were purchased by DCK during the course of the project.
Okay. And did DCK
And then we got into some of the legal issues, and then a surety was brought on board.
Right. Summit was having financial difficulties. So when they were purchased by DCK, and I guess that didn't work out, so the surety came in and took over.
And is DCK doing any work for the district?
No. No other contract for the district.
And if a contractor did drop out, or was removed for cause, what would happen? Are they, would they be allowed to bid in the future on any future projects?
Well, that's the beauty of the clause base, the process of the qualifications, past performance is something that we would look at, and that would allow us not to select a contract.
Which is really a change for us.
Which is a change, because that's why you see the repeat, same contractor, same problems on repeated projects. And now we have a system in place, a procurement vehicle in place, that we can,
thank God,
we can prevent those.
It was frustrating to see somebody default on a contract and be awarded a new contract in the same.
Well, I don't think there was anybody that defaulted. They think, because default, if they defaulted, we'd been able to find them not responsible. They were just something less than stellar. Because default would have, we would have been able to justify a finding of non-responsibility pretty readily. So remember that.
I'm just saying the ones who were doing terrible jobs over and over and over again.
Right. In those cases, you have to, in order to find them non-responsible, they have a due process. They have due process rights. And what Terry is suggesting is that they're using the procurement methodology to avoid the necessity of having to do that.
Yeah, which is wonderful.
The next project that, I think this is definitely a project of opportunity, is Northland Mall, which I just talked about as far as upcoming procurement. The reason that this one is challenging, just because of its past history, that work was done, some out-of-scope work was done, it was stopped, there was a lag time, and so there's always a challenge when a contractor comes in midway when some of the work has been completed and tries to finish it up, and it's all renovation-type work.
Isn't this several buildings?
It is several buildings.
And so it's lots of different nits and picks here and there to sort of bring it all together.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, it's the administration. So the president is put somewhere that you can't find her, other people, they're scattered all over the place, so it really is
an important call. It impacts the college as a whole.
And it also is one of the first things you see when you come into the college.
On what campus is it?
Pierce. So it'll be very exciting to see the thing starting.
We are very excited to get this one done.
And these are older buildings, right?
They're older buildings.
Are they referring?
I don't believe so.
No.
Yeah, I don't believe so.
No.
Now, this is part of one of these campus improvement packages that I talked about earlier. So it's six projects. It's North of Mall Phase 1, North of Mall Phase 2, the Ag Science Building, some ADA work at the stadium, some telecommunications, minor work, but telecommunications work, and some parking lot work. So it's a series of projects. Again, trying to get as much work done and trying to attract the
larger.
How much
is the whole package?
It's about $24 million. We have selected the architect who's going to do some of that final design work. It's PBWS. There were 11 SOQs or responses to our RFQ, which is great. And we are evaluating those and shortlisting. Those will be in the shortlisted primes, or the shortlisted primes will be invited to that industry forum that I talked about earlier. There's going to be an opportunity for the shortlisted primes to network with some of our local industry, some of the subs that are looking to work on the program. I believe that's at the end of October. And again, the delivery method will be lease-back.
If you look at Pierce College, there are many programs that are 2 and 3 and even 4, in some cases years behind schedule or something. Is there sort of basic cause for all of that? It's different than the other colleges, at least similar things.
Yeah, I think it's a variety of issues. I've asked that question many times, and I think, you know, some of it has been legal issues, some of it has been design changes. We get started with construction, and maybe there's a change in department head or some changes at the college, and they come in with some new ideas as far as what they want the program to be. So there's a variety of impacts. The good thing is that we just re-baselined our schedule, and we're going to track to it. Before, when there was a change in the schedule, they just changed the end date. They would modify the end date. Now we're going to track actually against that projected end date, and we're going to give our report card. That's going to be one of our report card grades that we track each of the colleges on, and also at the program management.
Was there a nature of project type out here? Was it, say, more remodeling as opposed to new construction? More smaller?
We have a better history across the board.
The worst thing you can
ask, it was a mix out there, but one of the things that the college did do is they did stop and say, hey, are we sure we want to spend the money doing this building, this building, this building, this building? So they reevaluated their schedule before a lot of the other colleges did, to see if they were building the buildings they wanted to with the money they had, knowing that it was a limited pool of money. And so they really did some smart decisions, because there was one building that they decided not to build because they needed some other buildings instead, you know. And so they really took a strategic approach to what buildings they had left.
Planning.
Yeah.
And do that. But even if you look at the baseline programs, a lot of them are behind schedule.
Yeah, so we had three different presidents during this time, and so, but I think the newest president has really worked with the college to make sure that we are getting the buildings we need, you know, process.
And she's been there for 4 years.
Yes. So you can see the results of her fruits of her labor. The buildings are coming to fruition now.
Yeah. What is the end date that you see for the North of the Mall?
from north of Mall. I don't know if I have my cheat sheet, but I don't know.
Yeah, I might have it somewhere.
Okay, if not, I'm happy to send that to you.
South of Mall here, towards north of Mall.
And one of the other issues we had with the north of the mall was the contractor that originally did that was, we ended up, they were just starting on the project and all that, they were projecting that they were going to be twice as much as what they did that. So it ended up, the contractor that we had gone through the bonding process on. So we had to go through a process of rebidding that project.
Was the rebid near what the revised estimate was of the prior contractor?
Well, the prior contractor had way underbid it.
Okay, that's one next one.
No, it wasn't, we couldn't.
What you're saying is the end, prior contractor when the price was revised, had an under.
Right.
Right, because he lowballed it first.
Right.
You debarred him, and you now have a new contractor. Is the new, what is a new contractor?
We don't have a new contractor yet, that's what we're going through right now, the procurement, but it.
But do we think the budget is close to what the previous contractor said, even though he?
I haven't seen those figures.
Okay.
So I can't answer that, because it's still in the procurement process.
Now, at this point in the program, fairly mature point, the low billion, sixth fund. If somebody comes in a situation like we just described, and says, oh, you really need a lot more money, does the consequence of that fall on the school that holds that project, or is it distributed amongst all the schools?
It falls on the school and the amount of money that they have in there. So that's why they have to relook at their budgets and relook at their programming of what buildings are going to get.
Our bidding system now should help us avoid the problem of three bids at $100 and one bid at $60, and you're required to take $60,
yeah,
bucks, even though you know it's going to be a disaster.
Yes, but they moved to the best value system to avoid that. You're quite right.
Did the surety take over in this one?
Cost? We terminated that contract early on.
There were some resolutions of claims with the surety, though, with Arch Insurance.
Yes, there were some resolutions.
Because the contractor walked off the job and left a bunch of subs unpaid, and so.
Right. So we did go back to and deal with the surety on the unpaid stuff.
How do we? We're going to have this open house, if you will, for contractors to come get to know us. Is that by invitation, or is it just an announcement and everybody who wants to shows up?
It's open. People can certainly attend. But contractors who are interested in doing our work know to register on plan to bids. We now have an online procurement system, something we hadn't had before. Everything was hard copy and email. So now we do everything through plan to bids. All the events are posted there. When you register on Planet Bids, you have to check which service or what you provide for the district. So if you do anything construction, once we put an event in there, you get an automatic email that says we're having this event and you're welcome to come. So this particular one is more of an industry-wide, and it's welcoming anybody who's interested in hearing about our work, we're able to come and attend. We will have ones that are more targeted as well outside.
You'll specially invite them, is that it?
Yes. So we might have one that's focused on maybe a certain type of service, and we would certainly narrow the invites or something like that.
If we had requested a comparison of the lease-leaseback design-build and design-mid-build contracts by square foot, did we ever get that?
I don't think that we've put anything together on that. We haven't done any lease-leaseback yet. I know that they had worked on some design build and some design bid build. I think that was presented to the committee. You may not have been here during that time, but I don't think we've done.
I asked for it, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you went off. That was during that gap when it came back to the committee.
Well, if you have a copy of it, I'd like to see it.
We'll have to see if we can find that. Lillian, you might have a copy of that and some of the stuff.
What was the name of them?
You asked about the amount of square footage we've done on either.
Cost by square.
Cost.
I think we did that and presented it, but I think it was during that cap that you were here. But we didn't do the leaseback. That wasn't part of that, I know.
Because you haven't done it yet.
Because we haven't done it yet.
Could you give us kind of a time period, because.
Well, we'll have to look back.
Kind of narrow it down for us.
We'll have to look back, because I know Richard had asked for it, and I think it was presented, but you were off the committee then.
Yeah, but what was the time period you were off? That way we could.
I got to go back and look and see when that time period he was off the committee.
Okay.
So I can.
I recall a meeting at Trade Tech for the committee that where that, I think, some material of that nature was presented, if that helps you narrow down what the
date. Yeah, it's been within the last couple of years, so I just can't remember the date.
Okay.
Well, Trade Tech was about a year ago.
Yeah.
Ish.
Because you had requested it, and then you were off, and it was presented like at the next meeting.
Okay. We'll look for it.
Next project is Mission Media Arts, which we've talked a little bit about. So the original contractor was SMC. They came off the job in 2011. We had a surety takeover, which was Hartford. They hired Kemp Brothers. Kemp is working at the site. There's been a lot of repairs and some additional repair work that's come up. Right now they're working on the third floor and the roof deck. For the additional repairs that have been discovered, these were done, and those are in the DSA for review. And right now we're forecasting completion in the summer of 2016. The challenge here is that we are behind schedule. We're about 3 years behind schedule on this project. This has been something that has been an ongoing challenge. But I think we're getting our arms around it, and as far as the number of repairs and what they consist of is getting narrowed down. And I believe that is it for the challenges. I know you received in your packet the settled claims report. And I have one update here to provide as well.
On this update, current status report is, are all the projects that are projected to be built at the campuses under the current bond funding on this list?
Well, the bond language included a lot of projects. I think it's written it with the and Tom knows more about this than I do, with the thought that they would be more inclusive and then you could draw from that as part of the college fund of the bill.
Give you some leeway on colleges on deciding
which was the most important based on, because you know when you're doing that, you're doing it over 7 years, and the need for the community changes in that process. From the time we started the bond in 2001 to today, I guarantee you the needs of the colleges have shifted, quite a bit.
So our project then that we know that have been selected as a.
This should include everything that has a budget attached to it.
Okay.
Yes. And so.
What it doesn't include then are those projects and buildings, probably just projects in waiting, which will become projects if in fact there's enough funding for them.
Right. Yes.
I'll ask the question I always ask Jim every meeting. Are the. What colleges have not finished their updated master plan?
I believe we were just looking at that. All of the colleges have a master plan, and I believe they're updated. Some of them, and Dan, I know you have your spreadsheet that we were looking at. Some of the master plans may have expired.
So it's not the master plan, it's the EIR, and we're taking a look at the EIRs.
I'm not actually worried, but I would hate to have expired EIRs. No, there was a. Starting 18 months ago or so, the colleges started looking at, especially when the money issue came up, that there was no hidden pot someplace.
Right.
This is what you've got. Go back to your master plan and determine what you want first and what things are important.
Right.
And some colleges got that through that process relatively quickly, and some colleges, even at the last meeting, hadn't
finished that yet. Are we getting closer to having all the colleges updated master plans, meaning updated within the last year, so that, because Jim was working very hard on making sure that the budgets per college were very much in line with the plans.
Yes, yes, so we do have the list from each of the colleges saying what they want to build. I think there might be one or two minor master plan updates. Other than that, where it's pretty much in alignment with what's in the master plan right now. And actually the slides that we put into your packet today show you all the projects per college that are remaining and also the budget for each. So we can walk through that real quick.
Is there a lesson here that maybe you apply to something similar to what we're doing here? It seems to me that from the discussion, okay, that the fundamental needs of any one of these colleges is to a very large extent dominated by its president. As you've said several times, and I believe it's true, but we had a new president, the new president had his plans, saw it differently, got it right. So it's a very fragile process because it's personality driven in the end. And maybe that's the characteristic of an educational institution, it has to be that way. But from a business perspective, you're asking for it.
I wouldn't say it's personality driven so much as it is governance driven. And so when we have a new college president,
right.
that president does his or her best to ensure that the governance, that all of the constituency groups and committees and the like have an opportunity to
right.
have
but,
an input. And but, so that delays.
The volatility of the governing group in the governance process
mm-hmm.
is not that large. 40% of your professors don't disappear overnight from president to president. The big change is the president, and it's his interpretation of what's neat, of what this essentially stable body, compared to a president's tenure, says we want. Oh, I have a different interpretation of what that means. I'm just suggesting it may be the nature of the animal and you can't do anything about it, but it is really something that seems to drive this process to a large extent.
And it is also an opportunity for those constituency groups to come in and get another shot or another bite of
right,
the apple.
Right, but they only get another
right.
shot because they're dealing with a president whose value and interpretation, that interpretation system, is different than the prior one. I'm sure that same group gave a good shot to the prior president.
Mm-hmm. I would say that part of the complication of doing a process like this is the time. We're talking about buildings. And over the period of time when we started funding this till now has been a significant number of years. And so every time somebody looks at what the goals and the objectives of a particular campus are, it does change over time. And because we're doing so many, in effect, little projects out of $6 billion, even a $25 million is a little project, those things start to change in relative importance just by the passage of time. And the fact that we've really only done one update of master plans, it's over this period of time, it's kind of surprising, actually.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't the most important part of your question be if a project was already underway and money had been expended, and then a new president came in and decided to stop the project because
it would be the most serious kind of error.
Review rather than an absolute.
Yeah, but I don't know. Unless Terry has information that I don't know, I'm not familiar with that kind of thing.
I wouldn't think it would happen.
No.
That would be my concern.
No.
Is if a new president came in and
right.
10% of the funds for a particular project had been expended
no.
already.
There's only one example that relates to that position that I can remember, and that was it was a new college president who decided that a parking lot had to be removed, a perfectly functional part of the parking lot, to put in wind turbines. Remember that happened?
I think it was
solar panels.
Solar panels, okay, same idea though.
Yeah.
And you know, that wasn't a fundamental change, it was a taste of change.
Hmm. Okay. Well, and another issue had happened during that process because when they were going to put the solar panels in that parking lot, Measure J had not passed at that time. And so the college was proceeding with putting the solar panels where the parking lot was going to be, and then Measure J passed, and then all of a sudden they had money to build another building, and they started looking at the site and what was the constraints of where you could put a building, because that campus has a lot of fault lines running through it, and so it was economically more feasible to stop that project than to go purchase land across the street somewhere and to bring it back there and put it on the campus.
Well, we've noticed at Pierce, since Rocky, with our many presidents, has been not so much construction, but the list of priorities. When we're given money constraints, right, the list of priorities change.
Right.
Who changes it? Well, that's the faculty doing that in conjunction with the president, right?
No, it's all the groups.
All the groups.
They all get together and change it.
It's the populace, the voting populace. Mm-hmm. But in the end, the decision is made by, I guess, by a common process of some kind, right, which is pretty mm-hmm.
And okay. President Litt, you know, the president does community priorities, but, right, but that's what we've noticed changing. We've lost some projects priorities that we really wanted, mm-hmm. and now we have other ones that we really want. And so it just changed.
This is a rash statement, and I don't know the colleges that well, but I think it's only been in the last year or so that there's really come to grips this idea that as much as $6 billion sounds like a lot of money, we're getting to the point where we're running out, and there are going to be wish list projects that aren't going to get built.
Well, we found that with several over the years.
And that's going to be one of the push comes to show, because that's very difficult.
There's no question for all the things we were discussing. Things are getting better. There is more maturity in the system. There is more rigor in the system. So there's no question of that. I was just reflecting back on how things got to be the way they were, and if there's anything that can be done in some future event like this, so that it would start off better.
I'm sure there must be a validation process already if there was a major yes. change in right. the process that we yeah. have to go through, like the decision over parking lot versus purchase of other land being a financial benefit to the district rather than a loss of funding yes. over a view of a new president, which is what we were talking about. Sure. Yeah, that could have happened. That happened under an existing college president, probably, didn't it?
Yes, the college president hadn't changed at right. that time.
So we just went through exactly what we're talking about now, going through that priority list and attaching money to it, and also putting in place a process in case someone wanted to change the list and putting some rigor behind it, so it wouldn't be such a, you know, it would be a very well thought out decision. So maybe we can just go through the slides.
Well, there's one other thing sure. though that is in connection with this. You sent us these minutes of the Board of Trustees on Wednesday, June 25th, and what came out of that meeting is Trustee Barrison's room from the same, yes. said, hey, you don't all have this
right.
strategic execution plan. Okay, so you should have them because you're going to execute your strategic execution plans.
Yes.
And so, but the memo leaves us with an unfinished piece of work. So what happened next? Was there a deadline? Was there a date established by which there should be strategic execution plans? I'm assuming these are critical things.
Sure. So we do have the strategic execution plans. One of the comments that we received from Trustee Barris and some of the other trustees at the meeting was that they wanted to understand the process by which the colleges did the priority list. Kind of how many meetings, who attended.
Did it reflect the needs of the students?
Right, did it reflect the needs of the students? And so we've been gathering that data from all the colleges. I believe we have everybody's now.
So is there a date by which there will be a complete set of strategic execution plans?
Yes. So, well, the plans are done. Now we're just showing the backup as to okay. why the priorities are the way they are for each college. So right. we're putting together that package to demonstrate.
And then it'll be a process to judge if that was reasonable. If it wasn't reasonable in some cases, it'll be redone.
So
when does that settle down?
Probably October. Now that we just received all the information from
coming
the colleges,
October.
This coming October, we'll go back and present the rigor that each of the colleges applied in order to come
but
up with that.
But then somebody guidance. Will make a judgment. Okay, you did it right, or change this.
They may ask for more information as to say, you know, maybe that wasn't the right criteria.
So October is what's hoped to be the final review, but it may not be the final
of,
review.
Of the backup data, yes.
Terry,
you know what a question that the next meeting is going to be?
Okay, yes.
Are you anticipating then that the FEMPOC is going to make a recommendation to the board for, you know, to support the strategic execution plans or something like that?
If that's the right next step, yes. I mean, we need a plan to go by, or else we're always going to be in limbo and changing the projects and changing the list. So having the plan is, I can't stress how critical that is.
Right. Yeah. It's just that the committees don't have any authority to give direction.
To do that. Yes.
Right.
So,
it would be a recommendation from the committee to the whole board.
Yes. Yes.
Well, we've been essentially asking for this committee for a year and a half. Because I'm really concerned that we don't end up with
I think it's
eight buildings, 60% complete, and all of a sudden people realize, oh,
this isn't what we wanted, or yes.
Yeah, we didn't want this building, we really wanted that.
I think Jim has alerted us on several occasions that he's not going to let that happen. But I think it also will take away some of what you're talking about, which is the ability of the people on the campus to make further changes. I mean, we're down to like 2.5 years or 3 years. So some of these buildings are going to, all these buildings are going to be started at all times. There's not going to be an ability to change anything anymore. New president or not.
2016 is the year of the big restart of construction. And it's supposed to be completed by the end of 2018. So they still have time to monkey around, but I hope they're not going.
Well, I think we've hopefully put an end to the monkeying around.
Well, if the big start of construction is 2016, that means planning is big dollars with architects and engineers and that sort of thing. So at some point, even though you may have 3 more years till all of the buildings are open and ribbons are cut, there's no more changes possible.
Yeah, I mean, just design and DSA could take up to 3 years, 2 to 3 years. So that takes up a lot of your time there. So there really is no time.
But you put in a contingency for that.
For changing?
Dealing with DSA.
Yes,
that's part of our schedule.
Right. That's in our schedules.
Yes. If one could schedule the DSA.
Right. So.
Is there any discussion of another bond?
I would say that is extremely preliminary thought. There's certainly nothing official. I hope that's okay, though.
There are about 8 legal entities, city, county, and various other, all of them are dying to get on the ballot with increases. And if they all fit at once, not a single one will pass. So.
I would agree.
Maybe we can walk through slides. I'm thinking that might answer some of the questions and the concerns that we were just talking about. So if we just jump to slide 2, what we're really creating is a new baseline for which we're going to follow to execute work here in the program, which seems far, but it really will be here before you know it. The last baseline that was done was actually done in 2011. So there were several projects had been deferred or changed, or the definition of those projects had changed. So it was really time to do a new baseline and revisit what those projects that we're going to execute and how we're going to spend our money. So the goal was to create a new baseline. This was going to be a baseline of projects in priority order for each college, with a budget attached to each and also a schedule of execution attached to each. So slide 3 walks through the process at a high level. The first
has a contradiction.
I'm sorry.
Okay, because it says final plan approved. Okay, May 2014. And we know that is quite the case. We know that it's being revisited now to see whether or not those plans had a firm foundation. And that's what Varis has raised, and that's what's going on now. Explain that to us.
Yes, they asked for more justification on the backup.
Is that October 2014?
Maybe it's a part 2. I believe, I mean, the PMO and certain members of the district did participate in vetting what those projects are. I feel comfortable with it, and I think what was missing from this presentation was showing them the backup on what the colleges did to come up with the list. I feel confident that once we show them that, it'll go forward.
But the potential for change still exists.
That has dollar impacts, but yes, potential.
I mean, I know everybody wants it, but final plan.
Sure, I can certainly.
Tentatively might be a good word.
Sure, okay, no problem.
What would it take, once this is final, what would it take to get something changed in one of these plans?
Well,
they have to go to the board, I assume, and explain to the board why they're not going to do some building and they're going to do another building.
So what we've asked the colleges to do is put together a business case for the change, and then they have to come to the PMO and to Jim and to Tom and present their business case. And if it's a significant enough change with dollars and time, then it might have to go to the committee, to the Facility Master Plan Oversight Committee, to plead their case for the change, and potentially the board. So it just depends on what the issue is. But there is a process now for that, and it's outlined here as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's good.
So the first step of creating a priority list is figuring out how much money you have remaining. So that was step one, is to say, okay, colleges, how much money do you actually have? We had to look at all of the past projects because some of them still had money attached to them in the financial system. So we had to really do a clean out and transfer funds from all of those closed projects and see how much money we had left. And so that was a big process. We got together in a room. Everybody agreed on the final amount. It was validated 10 different ways. So that was step one. Step two was the colleges going back and engaging their shared governance to say, here's the projects that we do have in our master plan and that were written into the bond language. Out of these, which ones do we really have a need for and what do we need to do going forward? So that took several months. We actually got a list from all the colleges around the Thanksgiving timeframe. And then they said, you know what, we want to go back one more time and we want to validate it again. So then we got the new priority list back probably early spring is when we got it back. And then at that time, we went back to go validate the budget for each of those and how long it would take to execute.
When they were making those decisions, did they have an estimate budget?
They did. They had a rough estimate at that time as well. Yeah. So that third box there on the left, we call them workshops. We had many, many, many meetings with the colleges at our office, at the colleges, to come up with this priority plan, this priority list, and the budgets. So the results of all that work was now we know how much money we have left. The projects that we have in the priority plan are actually aligned to the budget. They don't exceed the budget. All of the projects now have a standard contingency. Before, that wasn't the case. Sometimes there was some discretion used on how much contingency they wanted to use in order to make it fit within the budget, so now we applied a standard contingency. We also looked at
any... Contingency should not be used to make something fit in the budget.
I agree, so that's all changed. we also looked at potential project risks which weren't looked at before. So in the case of a renovation, for example, if we knew that it was built on, it's going to be built on an area or it's built on an area with issues, whatever the case may be, we might have looked at the contingency and expanded a little bit to account for risks that we thought may actually indeed occur so that we wouldn't get into these situations that we're in now where we're encountering a lot of things and there's no contingency, there's no budget, and we're having to take money from other projects.
Terry, I apologize for interrupting, but in preparation for Measure J, the colleges were given specific parameters for budgeting. If you're going to build a science building, set this much per square foot and this much in escalation and this much in
yes.
contingency. Mm-hmm. So has that been revisited as part of this?
I believe the contingency is the same. Those contingencies had changed from that language just over the course of the program. And also the square footage and the size of buildings and also the type of buildings completely changed. So I think it's kind of a new way forward. I'd have to go back and verify what contingencies they had spelled out in there.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, you know, when the board was presented with a $5.5 billion need
uh-huh.
and voted to do a $3.5 billion mm-hmm. bond measure, mm-hmm. it was based on a whole set of assumptions, and I just wondered if you'd done a comparison with those at all.
I'd have to go back and look at that. That's a good comment.
Don't let me give you an assignment.
Yeah, okay.
I was just asking.
Sure.
This must be just crazy numbers.
Well, I'm sure there was a lot of assumptions, and it was,
I mean, dollars per square foot for a building many years ago. You have to realize we were coming off a high inflated period, too, and then also trying to project when the building was going to get built and what the midpoint of construction was going to be and trying to figure out what the inflationary rate was going to be for mm-hmm. that period of time.
So right. 47 assumptions to
yeah,
deliver.
So there was
numbers.
A lot of
right.
assumptions that we had.
Yes.
But they were
assumptions
all based on,
well, I just,
they were all
you know.
Based on logical thought processes.
Right. I guess that was my point, is that the benefit of hindsight, being able to look at what those
right.
assumptions were and how they related to
yeah.
what finally came out.
Yeah. So let's jump to slide... more. We have about 160 projects remaining, those range from small to large, also varying in complexity from, you know, new to renovation work. So we have 16 new buildings, new construction that we're going to be implementing, 57 modernizations, and we're calling 90 infrastructure others. Those have a lot of civil work, stormwater, PE fields, that type of thing.
Excuse me, just so I can get a feel for that wording, where is north of the mall in this?
North of the mall would be renovation, so that would, oh, modernization, I'm sorry, so okay. That 57. And there'll be more metrics here too. So if you go to slide 5, we break those numbers down a little bit more. So we wanted to look at new versus modernization versus demolition by gross square foot by college. So that if you start from left to right, you have Pierce shown there first. They have with north of the mall and the south of the mall and all the renovation work, you can see that area in red shows it reflects modernization. The line or that gray area below the line shows demolition, so that's a gross square feet coming away from the college. This just gives you an idea of who's doing what. So city right now has all modernization work planned. They don't have any new construction. Trade has some new construction. That would be the new culinary building that they're planning there. Valley has some new construction. That would be the MAPA project. And the same with Weston going down the line and ELAC with their math and science and that type of work. So this just kind of shows you across the board what the work profile looks like. If you go to the next slide, we kind of dissect that information a little bit more into the type of space. And this was of interest to the trustees, of course. They wanted to see what space was going to be utilized by students. So basically, over 75% of the spaces that we're going to be building or renovating will be for student use. And that included classrooms, labs, the library, some AV, TV type spaces if they were labs for the students, and of course assembly areas. But that gives you a breakdown. So 35% of the space that's going to be either built or renovated is laboratory, 14% is for classrooms. 30% is in that other category, that's assembly, PE, meeting rooms, O&M type of facilities. 10% is the library, so you can just kind of see with the makeup of the type of spaces that are going to be affected.
What's included in labs as a definition?
It could be a science lab, it could be
machine shop.
It could be a machine shop.
It could be a dental lab.
Yes.
And probably a computer lab, so.
Yeah, it's computer lab, any sort of technical type spaces. Slide 7 now shows you the number of projects by college and the money remaining by college. So I think we put these in alphabetical order. So starting off with city, they have 15 remaining projects. The remaining budget is a little over 95.5 million dollars, of which 47% of that will be for modernization, and 53% will go into that infrastructure civil type of work. And I won't go through each one, but you can kind of see the breakdown. The ones with the largest amount of money are Pierce at $191.4 million, Trade at $161 million, and Valley at $132.8 million.
At West LA, comment was made at a recent meeting that based upon demographic projections, the buildings are finished in 2018. We should provide a capacity that goes out something like 10 or 12 years after that. Is that generally true? I mean, or is that a peculiarity of West LA?
No, they all, I think, try to build, obviously, for future need. I would be short-sighted just to build for today.
I think it depends on the college, you know, as far as how far they would be able to project out and the growth rate in that area. Because some of the areas, you know, started out slowly growing. Some of the areas grow faster, you know, student population.
So you're saying, let me say, the numbers 12 years ago, so let's see. You're saying it could be different for other colleges?
It could be a little bit less, it could be a little bit more, you know, so.
And I'm going to show you in just a few minutes the list of projects by college. The one thing I did want to point out is that last bullet on the slide, number 7. So there's a, you know, a 1 through however many projects that particular college has. If they do start to make those changes, let's say the user group comes up with a new idea and they want to change the building from square to round, whatever the case may be, and they start to exceed the budget that they have allocated for that particular effort, we have an agreement with the colleges that we will defer the lowest priority projects. Yes, so let's say if you start to exceed on your first priority project, you need money, you're going to have to take it from the bottom one, and then we would just, if that continues, obviously, you'll be able to do less.
What's the overall non-allocated contingency? I know we put some money back into that.
Non-allocated, is that the reserve, or is that
the reserve. Yeah.
That's $160 million. All right, so then we get into the list of projects by college. So the first one is City, and I won't go through all of these, but the things to highlight is at the top you'll see number of projects remaining, the total amount of dollars each college has left, what's infrastructure versus modernization versus new, and then we also added a column and a little check mark there in the middle of the chart that shows which ones are really dedicated for student use.
Exclusively?
Well, primarily. I think a lot, you could probably argue that all of them ultimately are for student use or to support student needs. Some of the bigger projects of City are the South Gym, Da Vinci Hall, and the Cesar Chavez projects. Those are kind of the biggies going forward. And then you can see also there's the budget by project, what we've spent to date, and what's remaining. Next one is East LA. I'm sorry?
The ones that are non-checks are, for the most part, the infrastructure.
Yes, yes, sir. That's correct.
You end up benefiting the students, but not in the classroom.
Right. The next one is East. Not a lot of work left at East. The big one is their science and math building that is moving forward. So that's the really the biggest effort that we have going on.
The new means is the result of recent replanning?
The new means it's a new building versus a renovation.
Which wasn't in the old plan?
I believe it was. It just we tried to differentiate between new construction versus modernization on this list. And then after that we have Harbor. Not a lot of work remaining at Harbor either. They have 15 projects. Most of them are small. The biggest one there is the old admin modernization project, which we've already started and is on schedule and moving along well. In addition, at Harbor, I believe we mentioned before that there is going to be a high school built there that's in a partnership with LAUSD. They're providing all of the funds for the project and funding everything, so there's no expense to us, but that'll be going on there as well.
You're supplying the land.
Yes.
Is that a permanent arrangement, or is there some termination date on it? Or?
I believe it's a 40-year lease, and then the property becomes ours at the end of 4 years as far as the district.
Next, we have Mission. Mission's not a lot of work remaining either. 10 projects. The biggest effort there is their new central plant. Which is in the programming stage right now. Budget for that is 11.2.
Do you call that new central
scenario? I'm
sorry? Do you call that new?
Oh, yes, we probably should have called it a new year first.
I'm not trying to be a...
Go back. Yeah,
I'm not trying to be a librarian.
No, I appreciate the comment.
I just had one question. Yes. The high school teacher, was that charter or regular?
Yes,
I did.
Was
it?
Yes, yes.
It's regular LEO. It's an
amendment. I think that was under infrastructure.
The reason they knew is because Dan reminded me, I guess it was categorized under infrastructure, but I know this.
It is a new building.
It is new, absolutely, so we'll have to figure out a better way to show all this information. Next is Pierce. Pierce is one of the ones with the most money, 35 projects left. You can see what that campus improvement package entails. That project number one called Northwood Mall contains lots of sub-projects. Budget for that is about $82 million, almost $83 million. And that's the one that is going to be awarded here for construction from November to December.
So expended means what had been spent before it stopped?
Yes.
30 out of the 82 has been spent.
Yes.
Wow.
The remainder.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that one's moving forward for sure. And because there's so much work for Pierce, it continues on slide 14 and also on slide 15, which shows all the work. So going forward, there will be three bundles or campus improvement packages for Pierce. So you can see project 10 contains a bunch of sub-projects that'll be a bundle. And then we go to Southwest. Not a lot of work left at Southwest, 10 projects, about $40 million remaining there. The biggest project that we have is the School of Math and Science, which will be a new building. For those of you who are familiar with Southwest, we're going to be demolishing the remaining structure of the previous building come winter break, so it'll be very exciting.
Is that the one that we had to hold because of the state chances?
They actually put the money in the budget this year to maintain off that building, so now we can tear it down.
Yes.
So it was the structure that was, it was a leased building, you know, they set it up, so the state had to pay off the rest of the lease before we could tear it down. So.
Then moving on to Trade Tech. Trade Tech has a lot of work remaining. They have 27 projects, $161 million left, and there's going to be some bundles there. I think one of the larger projects is the new art and culinary arts building, which is going to be going up. And I believe that's in programming now. And then there's a lot of renovation work as well.
Have they decided to do the necessary upgrades to the auditorium to preserve it but not do anything else?
I know that the campus is actively looking to find donors for additional funding, but I believe the money that we have allocated to date is to do some
seismic waterproofing.
Some seismic and potentially some demolition as well.
Well, and it shares a common wall with the common wall, and we had to do some seismic bracing there in order to get DSA to approve the renovations we did on the other part of the building.
Slide 19, we have Valley. Valley has 16 projects left, about $133 million. The biggest project that they have remaining is MAPA. Now, with the change in utilization of the MAPA building, we are exploring a new name for the building. It may not be called MAPA going forward because now it has a wider use. So the name that the college is recommending is, it's VACC, Valley Academic Cultural Center.
Valley Academic and Cultural Center.
Yes, thank you. Yes.
Valley Academic.
Cultural Center. VACC.
VAC.
Yeah, VAC.
VACC.
We try to make an acronym for it.
Beautiful.
Yes. Yeah. So there you go.
And it does. It is going to house more services than what the MAPA did. So it's basically about the same size footprint, but it's got more stuff that's going to go into the building.
It's so well done.
There's some projects on hold.
Yes. So the planetarium expansion, that was one that they just didn't have enough funding for. So that one went on hold, as well as motion picture renovation and some other work. Certainly, if there's opportunities to create some savings and we do the work and we have the time to execute, we will. That normally doesn't happen. But if we can, we certainly will.
And that money then goes right.
If there's money saved, it goes right back with the college and we can see what else we can do. Next, we have West. West has 24 projects left, about $60 million. Biggest thing from West is the TLC, TLC 2, which is a new building there at the bottom of the chart. And they have some, they're doing a mini central plant just because of the way that their campus is laid out. And there's such an elevation change between one side and the other side of the campus. They needed a central plant to support one of the elevations that doesn't have enough capacity. They have physical education and dance projects that are going on, but some small work. Again, biggest ones are the TLC, and then it continues on page, on slide 21, Watson 2 Center is another one. That is one of the larger projects. This one is going to have a large campus improvement package or bundle. That's the one that's going to go out in early of next year. That will actually take care of the majority of the work remaining.
The things that are unfunded at the bottom, those are the ones that come to life if they are efficient on the other programs.
That's correct.
But I thought there was a legal requirement on one of them, perhaps A9. It's an old building, if I remember right, and it has a lot of asbestos, if you just remember that word. And I thought it had to be modified in some way.
If it's inhabited and the asbestos is friable and it impacts people and it's being utilized, I mean, we could either abate it. I don't know if we'd have to demolish the whole building. I know, Tom, do you know more about this one?
Do I remember this right? I may be remembering it.
Yeah, I have to look a little bit more at this project. You know, we also do have, just so you know, we did put aside some money with the state, gave us some money. They call it state scheduled maintenance money. And each college put in some projects, and then we also have some deferred maintenance money that the board has set aside for us, and then we have some money that's coming from our Prop 39 funds for energy. Yeah. So we've got several small projects, and I'll have to look and see if this.
I'm sure the people of us know whether or not there is a problem.
Yeah, they may put one of these. I don't know the extent of dollars this project is. You know, so I'll have to go back and look and see if it's maybe one of those smaller projects too. And those projects we're actually handling out of facilities planning and development office. So they wouldn't be tracked by the bond because those really aren't the Prop 39 bonds.
Does the state have, in their asbestos abatement program, field inspectors for public facilities where they provide inspection and testing programs?
Not in the community college level.
No. So you have to do it yourself?
Right.
You go out to outside labs to do testing?
Right.
Sure.
And we have within the our district office, we have a budget, and we have a person that does the sampling for us and testing for us, unless it's a bond project, and then the bond program handles the testing. But if it's something other than that, we handle out of there.
Okay. Slide 22 just talks about the process to change the priority list. This is where we'd ask the college to create a business case and to submit that to justify the change. That business case would be reviewed, and if needed, would go forward to the Facility Master Plan and Oversight Committee or to a board meeting to make a decision on it. And then slide 23 just talks about the next steps. In addition to coming back to the committee and presenting that that next step on the strategic execution plans as far as the process that was taken to create the priority list. Now we're working on solidifying the baseline schedule as far as the timeline to execute everything. And that's something that we're in the process of wrapping up now.
Anybody have any questions? This is extremely reassuring. It starts to give me the confidence that we've got our hands on what we're building and how much it's going to cost. But I am impressed. So no more construction questions? Okay.
The chancellor's report.
So we hope to have our new chancellor here, but he had a conflict in his schedule, so I don't know if anything, Dr. Bird.
Well, we're happy to have the vice chancellor.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Actually, I think Terry covered it all. This has been the subject of bond steering committee meetings, chancellor's meeting, and the cabinet. So from, and actually, I think it was early in July where we had the partnering session. The chancellor was able to come with the nine college presidents, Terry, Tom, and Jim, and we talked about this and where we were on each of the at each of the colleges and what the process had been like. And just as a reminder, we now have three new college presidents that took office in August at Southwest College. Dr. Linda Rose came on board. At Harvard College, Dr. Otto Lee came from San Diego. And at Valley College is Dr. Erica Andrew Jonas, and she came in from Oxnard College. But this is a full complement. All nine college presidents are permanent in status, or regular employees is what I think is the legal term.
The word permanent doesn't mean much around here. Sadly.
Well, regular's better for legal reasons.
Yes.
Regular's better, but I'm going like, so that means the rest of us are irregular. I mean. But, so we do have, no interims serving as college presidents right now. And so I think that's very exciting. We've now made some changes in terms of our assignments, and I believe Montefeles will continue to be the presidential liaison to this committee. We're going, you know, we're taking a look at a number of things. Started off last year with Tom, and I came in from a meeting at West Los Angeles College with the Vice President for Administrative Services, and they're looking at food service, because we still have several facilities that are not completed, different stages. Pierce is ready to go. City College has a lot of work to do. So that's a continuing story. But we've had the discussion with the presidents. The vice presidents are having that discussion, and we're moving forward. So I, Tom, I have some homework that I need to come back to talk with you about with regards to that particular contract with the food service. Then they're also looking at the project that Bill Sewell, who was there earlier today, and that had to do with video analytics, which sounds really interesting in terms of campus safety and security. Could you talk a little bit more? Because I saw the presentation for the first time this morning, but I thought it was rather impressive. So maybe you could just give a little bit
of a background, and actually, I don't know if we've talked in detail about the slides he presented, but just a little bit of background on Bill. So Bill Sewell and I have a long history. We both come from a period of time in the federal sector, and my area of specialty was physical security, and his was more of telecommunications and IT security. So he's brought forth a good recommendation that we could potentially apply to all of the colleges, and maybe it's a good idea to have him come next time, and he can do a presentation for you guys.
So in essence, we have had IT infrastructure project as part of Major J, and we have had the project, the security, campus security projects have involved placements of cameras on the campuses and look at various locations and the like. And the video analytics is the technology that will allow us to actually be able to monitor movements at the colleges, on the campuses, without actually having to have a person sitting at a television
right.
monitor.
It's a smart system.
It's a smart system.
It tracks how much activity normally occurs at each hour of the day.
And where there's a abnormality, if there's a high level of traffic that it begins taping and it'll give an alert to say something abnormal is happening here, come look at the footage. So it's just, it's smart technology.
And my understanding is it not only, it's got this recording process, but not only does it start at the point that the activity starting, it actually goes back and captures the data. So it gives you up to that point a period of time.
So this is important because it seems like recently we've had a rash of, like yesterday at Pierce, we had a lockdown. You know, it was a partial lockdown, or Wednesday, it was a partial lockdown, and we still had a lockdown. Valley College had its issues earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. And so this actually will allow us to have better, more efficient use of our campus college Sheriff's Bureau, because at most times we have maybe one lead deputy on duty and some security officers and cadets, but really only one deputy. And so this will, this particular project, I think, will be very helpful to us. A number of the projects already have deployed the cameras and they have the system. What was interesting to me is that this video analytics can integrate with existing cameras, so it's still going
to
be
like,
you
don't have to replace
them. And you don't have to replace cameras and a lot of
that's
other
really
stuff.
Good.
So that, I think, you know, where if I were to say what our focus has been during the 3 months that the chancellor has been, is really bringing him up to speed with regards to the projects on the bond program. He's gone to all of the colleges. He did that the first month that he was here. He's had the walking tour. He's had the behind-the-scenes tour. He's done all of that. He's met with all of the constituency groups and the like. What has risen to the top is, you know, maybe there are some things that we could do more efficiently in a centralized manner, and so we are looking at that. Food service is one that comes to mind that we're looking at. Mm-hmm. And then I think campus safety and security is really at the top as well. And so in addition to the training that we're talking about is what can we do physically to ensure the safety and security of our college personnel and students. And so so everything is coming together very nicely. The Sheriff's Department was at the meeting as well, and there seems to be some very good collaboration taking place. So, off the top of my head, that's what I can tell you.
What caused the two lockdowns you referred to?
At Pierce College, there was a citizen that called LAPD and indicated that there was a young man, a male, with wearing a black hoodie, but that it looked like he had a gun. We just said weapon, but it looked like he had a handgun, and it was at the vicinity of Winnetka, the entrance to the campus at Winnetka. So the lockdown actually occurred in the horticulture area to Winnetka, and they did a complete search, did not come up with anybody. But that's what caused that particular lockdown. Previously, at Valley, we had one was on a Saturday night and was just totally unrelated to the college, where a drug deal went bad at a college parking lot, and one of the suspects was killed right there at the parking lot. It caused the college to be closed for the weekend, the Sunday, and even into Monday. There were, you know, we had to do some cleanup. At Valley, we also had a call where someone was said to have there was a call received in one of our offices that a student had some mental problems, but that she was threatening to come on campus and kill a number of people. And so, and it happened at a time when it was early morning, but we also had, the student was supposed to be in class, so we had to do, you know, go in, Sheriff's Department had to go in, identify whether the student was there, but then they did the lockdown and secured the buildings. Then they started to release them classroom by classroom, building by building. So that caused quite a an emotional stir, if you will. But related to that, what we have done is we did issue a request for proposals last spring for a single emergency notification system, and that contract was awarded this summer. And I believe we're now, we now have all nine, well, actually we have eight of the colleges. One college opted out, but we have not eight of our colleges on the same system for that emergency notification, and it's voice, email, and text.
I want to say thank you for the work again to our the staff as well as to the volunteers from the community. I need to go to another meeting, but if I may, I know you're always happy to see our wonderful Deputy Chancellor here, but I also just want to say that I believe the committee hasn't met since our new chancellor came. You haven't met him yet, is that right? And I do want to tell you that I think you'll be very impressed and pleased. We spent a very long time looking for him, keeping her working two jobs at once until we found the right man for the job. It could have been a woman. In this case, it is Dr. Francisco Rodriguez. I really think you will find him highly effective and committed. And again, just by chance that he wasn't able to be here today, but I am certain that you will be very pleased to know him and to see the level of work and productivity and mm-hmm. just, he's great. he's really great. I'm very
forward to meeting him.
Yeah. Thank you. And as Ms. Field just said, I think it's a matter of that this meeting is in an off cycle. It wasn't exact. And so his calendar has, he started June 1 and his calendar was full. Almost immediately. So we've got to get on his calendar on a regular basis for this committee.
That's why we have preset meetings for the next year.
Yes.
In your calendar.
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
Any questions?
And we will make sure that they're on his calendar as well.
Please do. And if any of the college presidents, I know they've got a zillion things to do, especially since some three of them are new, but if anybody, I know there was concern when we went from one representative per college to one representative for
three
area colleges.
Yeah.
But if anybody at the level, the presidential level, or one of their top advisors or something wants to come to this meeting, it is absolutely a wonderful opportunity for us to meet them and them to meet us.
Sure. And well, if, especially if you're going to be going to the colleges, we will make sure that.
Yes.
And that we want to do that again. We got screwed up this time because of.
Yeah.
The starting of classes and parking and all the rest of that stuff, but we want to go back to hitting the other colleges.
Okay. We'll be sure to present the schedule to them as well.
Cool.
Okay. We have a quorum. Can we do the minutes?
We do have a quorum.
Oh.
Is that correct?
No,
not
no.
I don't think so.
Still
no.
Here.
That's a little scary. I
actually, Lillian let me know that he was taking a test with the Personnel Commission, and maybe he got his wires crossed on which meeting he was going to. When he said he could come to this one, he might not have connected that there were two different things going on.
Well, we'll have to put the meeting minute
for next time.
And I do want to note that the foundation representative is not vacant any longer because the board did approve on Wednesday.
Dr. Bubbers.
Who is it? Is it
Eric?
Is it the first name Eric?
Yeah,
Bubbers.
From Valley.
Yes, he's a he's the vice president for the Valley College Foundation, and he will be the foundation representative.
Okay, so, the annual.
And he could not be here today.
Okay.
The annual report, are we making any progress on that?
Just so you know, we've started pulling the information together for you, and I don't know if you want a committee to look at it, or Dan, if you want to just review that and then present it to the committee. But we've already started. It's a similar format to the past. We've started pulling all the figures together, all the pictures together. We'll soon have a draft ready for you to look at.
And we'll soon have a director of communications and external affairs.
Well, that would be great.
Actually, what I'd like to do is, if it's, I'm sure, in electronic form, if you want to send it out to me and send it out to the other members for their comments, to take a look at it. And we always get some great comments back from people, and we can make the process then of approving it that much faster, so we can get it out faster, because people will be able to come to the meeting and having already looked at it.
Okay. Must be out by November.
Well, we try and get it out as quickly as we can, and usually it ends up, by the time we get through all the committee meetings, is November.
Okay. But you should have a draft by...
We've got a rough draft right now, so we pulled together a lot of the formatting and put a lot of the numbers in there.
Okay.
So, and just so you know, the figures that come off and come in there are the figures that are as of June 30th, you know, so we use the dashboard reports for those. We pull those figures and put them in there.
Yeah. Old business, new business. We're done.
Very
Thank
good.
You, everybody.
Very good.